invitation that is. You know, there are some invitations that I get excited about, and there are some invitations that I don't get so excited about. Kind of like those invitations to come for a free dinner if you'll just stay for a little presentation afterwards. Now, I realize that there may be some great products out there that I need to be introduced to, but to be honest, I don't get real excited about that kind of invitation. But there are other invitations that I get, whether it's by email or text, or whether it comes the old-fashioned way in the mail, that I'll look at those invitations and I get excited about those. Well, this invitation here in Matthew chapter 11, I can get excited about this one. Hear what Jesus is saying? I want to give you rest. I want to help you through life. I want to work with you. And by rest, I don't think Jesus means that I want to give you a permanent vacation where you just put your feet up, you're sitting on the beach for the rest of your life. He uses the word yoke here. Take my yoke upon you. So obviously Jesus is saying, you're going to find rest by partnering with me, by working with me. So I don't think it's just a permanent vacation. In fact, I love vacations. I love to get away. I love to be on the beach. And we go to the beach every year. We go to South Padre Island, and that's kind of our getaway. And some years we're able to go 2 weeks. And it is just fabulous. It is just wonderful. Sometimes Henry and I will just have 1 week by ourselves, and then all of the kids will come the second week, and one is restful and one is not as restful, but just as exciting and wonderful. But sometimes at the end of those 2 weeks, Henry and I will look at each other and we say, you know, how long could we do this? And we think to ourselves, you know, we could do this maybe a little bit longer, but we both agree that at some point, you've got to get away from your vacation. At some point, you've got to get back to work. At some point, you got to get back home and do the things that you need to do. Because rest isn't just found in a vacation. Rest, and what I think Jesus is saying here, peace and fulfillment and purpose is found by doing those things that God has created you to do. And so Jesus comes to these people. This is the first century in Israel. He says, I want to give you something that no one else has given you, because Jesus recognized that these people were not at rest. We've been watching The Chosen on Wednesday nights, a great depiction of the ministry of Jesus and what things may have been like. And one of the things that's always before us when we're watching The Chosen is you have the Roman guards, the Roman presence. You've got the tax collector. The people were not at rest. I mean, the Romans were always there, always a reminder that they were under the thumb of the Roman Empire, paying taxes to this heathen government. They weren't at rest. They didn't have their freedom. And then also we see in the New Testament that really, in a religious way, these people weren't at rest either. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, for the most part, they had made religion very oppressive. Rules upon rules upon rules. In between the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were these groups of religious people that they just sat around and they tried to think, what are some more rules that we can give to the people? So the people were just oppressed by the Roman government. They were oppressed by the religion of the first century. They were never good enough. And as Jesus comes to the people there, I think they were just worn out. Sounds familiar? Sounds like a lot of us. Sounds like me at times. Sometimes I just feel worn out. Expectations at home, expectations at work, relationships that you're trying to maintain, pandemics, politics, and sometimes even religion, doesn't it? It weighs us down. And sometimes we get out of bed and every day we just put on this 100-pound pack, or maybe yours is even more than that, maybe a 200-pound pack, and it feels like sometimes you just drag around all day. And I think Jesus is saying life wasn't meant to be like that. And religion was never meant to be like that. Religion should energize you. It was funny when you read this passage and Jesus says, I want to give you rest. Most people don't think of religion that way, do they? You know, you invite people to church. Hey, come to church. Be a Christian. And a lot of response that I hear is that people say, man, I can't handle one more thing. I'm too busy for religion. I'm too busy for Jesus. I can't fit that into my schedule. And so people think that religion is just going to be another boulder in that pack that they're carrying around. I think Jesus is saying, if you're too worn out for me, then I'm exactly what you need. This is the invitation. He says, I want to make life easier for you. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to give us the abundant life. And we make it more difficult, don't we? I wrote these words, Wayman, back in August of 2020 on my little blog, let me read this to you, of a day that I was not at rest. Last Friday was a crazy day, but I made it crazier than it had to be. High winds blew through Texoma the night before, leaving hundreds without power, including the church building. Well, sort of. One of our assistants called me when she got in the office and said the lights were out, which didn't surprise me. What did surprise me was what I discovered when I got to the office. Not all the lights were off, about one-third were off. What made me go into a tizzy was that we had a group coming in to view an online seminar, and the room they were to meet in was one of the rooms affected. We were told by our electric company that they were working on the issue, but we all know that could be forever. So I started buzzing around the building. I got my steps in by 10 a.m. that day, with cables, computers, and extension cords preparing a room for the seminar. The phones were out, so I rigged more extension cords to get those working. One of our modems was out, so I hustled to try to reconnect them. I was tired and frustrated. Just about the time I got everything working, all the lights came on. I should have been grateful, but I was mad. Mad that I'd gone through all that work and expended all that emotional energy for nothing. Then it dawned on me. If I had only waited and trusted in someone who could fix it all, I would have saved myself so much worry and stress. If only I had waited on someone who could fix it all. The good book tells us more than once to wait on God, and Friday morning that all made sense. How many problems have I tried to fix? How much physical and emotional energy have I spent? How much worry and stress have I needlessly borne because I just didn't wait on the one who could fix it all? It reminded me, I make life so much more difficult than it has to be. But Jesus says, I want to work alongside you. Take my yoke. Learn from me. You know, the term yoke is really not too familiar with us. I'm a city boy or a suburban boy. To be honest, I don't know if I've ever seen a yoke in person other than a farm that I've visited. I've never worked with beasts of burden, but we understand it. A yoke is something that you join together with someone else. And as I kind of look at this, if I had a 21st century parallel, maybe I would think of this as a bicycle built for two. You know, that me and Jesus are riding together. And sometimes I can't pedal, sometimes I can't do the work, but Jesus says, I'm there with you. I'm working with you. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. So how can Jesus possibly make this claim? Who is he to make this claim, that he can give me rest? Well, let's go back a verse before this invitation in verse 27. Look what Jesus says there. He says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, Jesus, and this isn't the only time Jesus does this, he lets us know that there's a special connection between him and the Father, him and the creator of the universe. They're one. They're one being. He says, and the Father has given me responsibility. He's given me authority. And so Jesus is saying, I can say things like this because I know how you work. I know how things are supposed to be. I'm the expert. I made you. I ought to know how you will operate efficiently and purposefully and restfully. Have you ever talked to an expert, maybe someone in construction, maybe someone in technology, maybe someone in athletics, whatever it may be, and you've been doing something for years, and it's been like 10, 20 steps, and every time you have to do it, you're just worn out, because you're a novice, you're not an expert. And then if you talk to someone who is an expert, and they come up to your computer, press a button, everything is fixed. Woo, excuse me. You saw that, that was a bug. I wasn't just reacting to nothing there. Dave, next time give me a heads up, would you, if that happens? Or someone in the athletic field, you know, you've been doing something one way and you haven't had the results, and then they teach you just a little trick because they're the expert, and all of a sudden you can do whatever you were trying to do so much better. Or in construction, you've been using the wrong tool. You just haven't been doing things the right way. And so you labor, and someone comes in, and just like that, they have it fixed. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes what is so difficult for me, so difficult for you, is so simple when an expert is doing it. And Jesus is saying that. He says, listen, I'm the expert. Me and the Father, we're talking. We're communicating. And he says, just hold on. Instead of just trying to do things all on your own, come to me. I'm meek, lowly in heart. I'm willing to teach you, and you will find rest for your souls. But doesn't everyone claim to be an expert on life? Aren't there so many people that make this same claim? Weren't we promised that life would be easier with the rise of technology and science? Remember that as a kid? You know, once we get all this technology, man, we're going to have 4-day work weeks. You know, everything's just going to be so easy. Aren't we constantly promised by politicians from both sides that if you elect us, life is going to be better? Everything is just going to go your way. And aren't we daily bombarded by advertisers that say, if you have our product, your life will be transformed? I mean, we have experts all over the place telling us that our life is going to be made easier if we just follow them or listen to them. And then we have Jesus. He says, come follow me, and I'll give you rest. Someone's lying. At worst, someone is lying, or maybe there's people that are innocently deceived, but someone is not telling us the truth, and people, it is not Jesus. Jesus is here to help us. This yoke, this wooden cross piece that is fastened over our necks, it's usually with two animals and attached to some plow or some cart that they're able to pull. And that's what I see. I see myself and Jesus working together in partnership. I'm not alone. He's here for me. There's an old poem that you've probably heard on numerous occasions, but it came to my mind and I hadn't read it in a long time. I needed to read it, called Footprints in the Sand. You know it. If you haven't heard it, I think you'll be blessed by it. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. He's with you. He's helping you. He's right there beside you. Before Jesus left, he gave his disciples an important job to do. To go and preach the gospel to all people, to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I have taught you. A tremendous responsibility. But the last words that they heard as Jesus was ascending into heaven were these, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's there with you, helping you through that temptation, soothing you when you're distressed, giving you courage to do what you need to do. So spend time with him every day. Read the Gospels. Pray every day. Let him be your teacher. You're invited. Have you ever had to carry a heavy load for an extended period of time? And maybe a backpack, you've been hiking and you've got all that stuff. And you're carrying it, you're carrying it, you're carrying it. And just get tired and tired and more tired. And then you get to the destination. Then you take that pack off. And what a relief it is to be free from that burden. That's what Jesus says, I want to do for you. The Apostle Peter said the same thing. He said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, help us to know that you have come to relieve us of all the burdens that weigh us down. Father, that you have come from heaven, that you have come, our Creator, to share this life with us, to walk with us every step. And Father, help us to recognize that you and you alone are the one in whom we can find meaningful, sustainable rest. You are the living water that springs up eternally in our souls. Father, help us all to hear this invitation to come to you. Father, thank you for calling us. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for sustaining us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I imagine that most of you here today have made that decision to walk with Jesus at some point in your life, and you've heard this invitation before. It's not an uncommon passage. It's one that a lot of people, church-going people, know. But maybe at some point in your life, you've taken that yoke off, and you've decided to work all by yourself, and you've said to Jesus, I can take care of things. Well, how's that working for you? Jesus says, come on back. So put that yoke back on and put your arm around Jesus and say, I'm back. We're going to work together. I'm going to learn from you. You teach me. I've tried others and, they deceived me. I was wrong. Maybe today you just need to come back and say, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never decided to follow Jesus. And you've had some good times. I mean, things have gone pretty well for you at times, and you think you're pretty strong. You can handle things. And the thing about burdens is that sometimes you get so used to them that you don't even know you have that burden. I trust that Jesus will relieve you of the burdens that you have that you don't even know when you come to Him and decide to walk alongside Him in your life. So in your heart, make that decision right now. Receive this invitation. If you need to talk to someone about more about that invitation, we're always here to talk to you. And we'd love to talk to you about Jesus and all that He wants to do for you. We're going to sing an old song, a song that we haven't sung in a long time. And Basil has chosen this song because it's right from the Scripture. It's right from the Scripture to come and follow Jesus. And so may God and Jesus speak through His word to you today to hear the invitation of Jesus. Let's all stand together and sing.
Oh, heart bowed down with sorrow, oh, eyes that long for sight, there's gladness in believing in Jesus there is life.